check. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Do I have any happy people this Sunday morning? A few of us? Great. We're going to get into worship. Who's excited to worship Jesus this morning? That's good. That's good to hear. Last night was the Gathering 509. It was our youth event that we've been doing. I've been partnering with other youth pastors from around the city, and we hosted it at Riverside Christian and had, I don't exactly know the number, to be quite honest with you, but we had a room full of teenagers worshiping Jesus. And when I tell you that God is not done with this generation, I mean it, because I'm seeing it. And so it's hard for me to go from that and then come into a Sunday morning and expect nothing less than just a mighty move of God. When you see a bunch of, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds just ashamedly worshiping Jesus, there's nothing like it. And so today, here's my encouragement, if you will, is that we would come with open hearts, that we would be open vessels. You guys remember being teenagers, right? You remember how confused you were. You remember like the dumb things you did and all the stuff, right? And I think that if a teenager who is so confused in life, who doesn't know who they are, who, from one second to the next is happy and sad and depressed and happy again and so forth, and doesn't like can stop for a second and encounter Jesus, like as adults who have lived some life, can we just for a second stop and just encounter Jesus? Can we just say, yes, Jesus, we're going to stop for this moment. We're going to put aside our stress. We're going to put aside our worries. We're going to put aside our expectation. And the only thing is we're expecting you to move today. So Jesus, I just thank you today as we get to worship you this morning, as we begin to enter into songs and praise, Lord, that you would just encounter your people this morning, young to old, God, that you would encounter us, God. I thank you that there's no junior Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that the same Holy Spirit that encounters us adults is encountering our young people, God. Lord, that what you did last night wasn't just for a moment, that it is for eternity, God. Lord, that it's spilling over this Sunday morning into this congregation, into every congregation all over our city, God. And I thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your mercy. I thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne today, God. Lord, that we can come before you, Lord, and that we can give you all of us, God. And we don't have to edit. We don't have to put a filter on it. We don't have to do anything special, but just give you our authentic self, God, no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like dancing, if it looks like singing loud, if it looks like lifting our hands, if it looks like whatever it looks like, you're just glad that we're here. And Jesus, we're glad you're here in the room. Jesus, we praise your name. We praise your name. We thank you, Father God, that you love us, that you're with us, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Right now, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would rest on us. You would rest on us right now. If you need a fresh touch from Holy Spirit, just begin receiving his love, receiving his guidance right now. Encounters in the room all over the place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are worthy, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All stress, go. All anxiety, all worry, go. All depression, go. All sickness, go. In the name of Jesus, you have no place in this room. No place in these bodies. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just begin thanking him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm no longer everybody will just shut their eyes for just a minute. I want you to get this picture in your mind. Now, up here is a big wide space. And in my mind, I feel like God's given me a picture that there's a river running right through here. Now, when it's a hot summer day and everybody's at the river, there's a lot of different people that are depicted by this river. First off is the children. They're standing at the edge and their feet are, you know, in, and they're splashing and they're giggling and laughing and tossing water on each other, and they're just having a ball and they don't care. They don't care. They're just at the river and they're having fun. But then there's a mama holding the infant. I almost see Tanya. And she's holding this infant, and she too is standing in the water. So the infant kind of is getting sprayed and giggling and laughing out loud every time a drop of cool water hits him. And then there's these old guys, and they're actually sitting down on the bottom. And their feet are buoyed up, and their heads are up, and they're just relaxing as that water is rushing by. And, you know, they kind of got a belly on them, and they don't care. They don't care. But then there are people that are up on the bank, and they care what people think. They don't want to go out there and get wet because they'd have to take off the cover of life that they have surrounded themselves in to hide every bump and bulge so that no one else can see. But Jesus is saying today, drop the cover. Come get in the river. Feel my presence surrounding you and washing you and cleaning you and reviving you and revitalizing you. And come feel that. Now I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a little bit of bravery, because I've already been standing up here in that river and I almost feel like I was knocked over a couple times and that I was going to fall. But I'm going to tell you, it is so refreshing. It is so precious to feel that water just draining off all of the things of life that have just been surrounding as I'm just standing in the river, just letting it wash over me. Will you join me in the river? Will you come down and just not care who's watching? Remove the cover of life that you have shrouded yourself in and just be in Jesus. Will you join me today? Because it's freedom from heart sets. It's freedom from mindsets. It's freedom from past sin. It's freedom from shame. It's freedom from the dirty rags that we use to cover ourselves. It's freedom to walk into the throne room of God. It is freedom to bring all your petitions to the throne room of God. You don't need help from anybody. He just wants to hear it from you. He wants you to walk boldly to Him, knowing that you are His child because He afforded you the freedom when He died on the cross for you.
What can wash away?
What can wash?
There is power in every chain.
There's nothing stronger
to break every chain.
I want us to do an exercise. Now, we declare on Sunday mornings over the city a declaration. But if you would just indulge with me for a minute, and let's just declare the name of Jesus. And when we say the name of Jesus, we're going to be declaring the name of Jesus' lordship over our lives. So I want you to, my voice is a little hoarse this morning, but I want you, with all of your breath that God has given you, to say it like you're saying it so the heavens can hear it. I've heard some people say it so the demons can hear it. Well, but the heavenlies can hear it. And I want you to say it so much that you feel uncomfortable. How many know that your flesh doesn't like Jesus ruling it? Our flesh doesn't like when the Spirit of God is leading us. And when we step out and we declare by faith our allegiance and our love and our devotion and our connection with Jesus, things break in our lives. Chains break in our lives. Amen? So we're going to say it three times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And try to make it louder every time we say it. We're going to start on three. Okay, you guys ready? One, two, three. Jesus!
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 Hallelujah! Jesus, we declare your name over our lives. We declare your name over our families' lives, Lord. We declare the blood of Jesus over our families' lives. Those that don't know you, Lord, we declare your blood over them, Lord. Lord, we declare the cleansing power over their lives. Cleansing power of Jesus over our lives. We declare your glory, Lord, to fill these vessels. To fill these vessels, Lord. These vessels of clay, Lord, make them vessels of honor with your glory. Lord, we release the power of God, Lord, in our families, in our hearts, Lord. In every part of us, Lord, we give you allegiance and obedience. Jesus, set us free. Set us free from any lies of the enemy. Set us free from any of the chains that have bound us by addictions, by hurts, by those type of injuries, Lord, that go deep into our hearts that we don't even know about, Lord. Set us free from those chains today, Lord. And let us be, Lord, your people, where we can say, I am a child of God. I am not a child of the enemy. I'm not a child of this world. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shall we give it one more time? On three. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Yes, give him a praise. All right, go ahead and greet someone.
Chuck, Chuck, Chuck. All right, let's find our seats, please. A lot of chatty Kathys out there. Do you think Kathy likes that? Chatty Kathy? Probably not. Okay. I know Nancy doesn't like negative Nancy, so don't do it. It's negative Nelly. Unless you know somebody named Nelly, then I don't know. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're going to do our declarations here in a moment. And again, you know, this is something that hopefully, let me just say this. If this has become, this is the redundant thing that our church does every Sunday, here's the challenge. Reposition your heart for why we're doing this. Because anything that seems redundant can quickly have new life if you have a new perspective about it, right? So as we approach us doing, you go and put the first slide up, Caden, the declaration here, just know that this is for good reason. This isn't just so we can, you know, just to do something. We're not filling space. This is because we believe that God wants to do something in our city. Amen? Amen. So why don't you stand with me? We're going to say this in cadence. And if you will, just like we did a moment ago where we declared Jesus and we said it with some oomph in our spirit, we said it with unashamedly, my encouragement and hope with that we would declare this over our city in the same matter. So on the count of three, we'll start. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we thank you for Yakima. We thank you for the valley. We thank you, God, for what you're doing, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have not forgotten our city. You have not forgotten the people in our city, God. And we just pray, Lord, for continual revival to sweep the streets, God, like we just declared, God, over every single person that calls this valley home, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us, that you're with us, and that you believe in what we're doing here in the Yakima. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we only have one announcement. We don't have a slide for it yet, but I wanted to get it on your guys' radar. Last year, we did something really fun. We did what's called the Lord's Supper, and this is where we came together as a family, much like we did, was it last week? We did, yeah, last week was the Chili Feed, except there's no competition. Yes, go Cody. The champ is here. The champ is here. But this time, we're just going to get together and we're going to fellowship with one another, and we'll take communion and eat a meal together. Again, like I always say, these type of things, yes, they're for our church family. We want all of our church family present. Also, these are really good events and moments to bring your friends and family to, especially those that don't have a church home, that those that just maybe are far from God or don't know God at all. This is a really safe environment where they could come and they could just get a meal and meet some of us. And so I would just encourage you, put that on your calendar, November 20th. And yes, please, Gabe.
I just want to share, and I'm thinking it might have been Vicky. Did you go out and invite the police officers in? So last year, when we had the Lord's Supper, we had it downstairs in the fellowship hall like we did the Chili Feed, and there were two officers just sitting in the parking lot in their police car. And Vicky went out and invited them in, and they came in and ate soup and bread and then took communion with us. Now, I'm going to tell you, if that's not the coolest thing, I don't know what is, because they received, you could tell, and they entered in, and it was amazing. So, y'all, this is an event that is very, very close to my heart. The Lord birthed it in my heart years ago to do this, and this year, I almost thought, I'm not going to do it. But it's worked out. We're going to do it. We're having the Lord's Supper. And you guys, that's if we see somebody even just walking on the street, I mean, invite them in for a hot bowl of soup. Like Jesus loves them. And the way they're going to know that is by an angel that walks out to their car and says, "We're having the Lord's Supper. Would you like to come in and have a hot bowl of soup and a warm roll?" And in they come. So y'all, it's for everybody, okay? So just my prayer for you is that your heart receives this as deeply as mine has, that this is for everybody. So please invite somebody that just needs a special touch from God and let them know that they are more than welcome. And so we're going to do that.
You want to stay up here, Mom? Can you take a seat? Yeah, that way. Awesome. And then while our Our pastors are coming up. I'll just say this real quick. Thank you guys for giving. Thank you for sowing into what God's doing here. As you know, you can give in our offering chest over here as well as in the back, and you can give online always. And we just appreciate everybody's heart and willingness to continue to sow into One Life Family Worship. And so thank you guys.
Thanks, love.
Go and start talking. I gotta get it. Go ahead and start talking.
He wants me to start talking, but I just talked.
You talk some more. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see everyone. Welcome, family.
Yes. Welcome, friends. Welcome.
Yep.
Everybody.
So we're in the sixth part of our message on 2 Corinthians 13:14. And hopefully some of you have a pretty good idea of what it's about, but if you're like me, it's easy to forget the scripture. You just kind of get the message in your heart, and that's really the main thing. You know, it's one thing about, you know, I've memorized chapters and, you know, could quote them verbatim and different translations and everything, but the really key, did it get in my heart? Did the word become flesh in me? Did I start living that instead of just be able to quote it? And so if you guys at least get the heart of this, the idea of this, that we have the grace of the Lord in our lives working, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then we've accomplished what we've desired to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Excuse my voice today. I'm just getting over whatever she had. You know, it happens when you're in the same house. And then also, Tim was sharing his whatever
germies.
It was. Yeah, what?
Germies,
I guess that's a good way to put it. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Here's the four translations that we've been reading. So go ahead, hon.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. NIV, may the grace shown by the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that God has given us and the sharing of life brought about by the Holy Spirit be with you all. New King James Version, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And then the Amplified, my favorite. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it.
So today we're going to talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is the third part of that verse 14. And the idea of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is about communion, partnership, participation, which we learned last week. We took communion last week, and we realized that to take communion, we have to participate in something. We have to eat the bread. We have to drink the juice. And we have to participate in the body and the blood of Jesus by remembering his death until he comes. But it's an act of faith. And all of this is an act of faith. If I could give you guys all of these truths, that we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the love of God, and that we have the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't live like we do, if we don't act like we do, if we don't come to God by faith and say, Lord, you've said this, so I'm going to start living like this is going to happen. I'm going to believe you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to give me the impetus, the strength, the ability to have these things become real in my life.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Oh, we're reconnecting. Let's see. I don't know if I can switch verses.
Water, honey.
Oh, thank you.
It's hot.
It's hot. I think those three Jesus probably woke up something like,
shook you over the edge there, did it?
What are you doing? It's like, I'm not listening to my flesh. Amen?
Amen.
So John 14:16 and 17 is kind of where we're going to start. We're going to kind of lay down the groundwork of the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
So this is Jesus. Chapter 14 of John, 13 and 14, is right where he has now washed the disciples' feet. And he's now basically these three chapters giving them instructions and guidance and encouragement and challenge. And in the middle of chapter 14, he says to them, and I will ask the Father, because he's basically told them, I'm going away. Mm-hmm. You know, and where I'm coming, you can't come right now. You'll come later. Right. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Many rooms is in my Father's house. You know, he's giving these mysterious words that they can't understand. But then he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I love this, that he just doesn't say a helper. He says another helper. What does that mean? That means Jesus' ministry to us is helping. Mm-hmm. And he's giving us another helper. And why did he give the Holy Spirit? Because he's going away. So the Holy Spirit comes, and where Jesus was in a disadvantage, let me put it to the way the Holy Spirit works. Because he said, it's your advantage that I'm going away. It was a disadvantage that Jesus was one person. He could only be in Samaria and at one time, and you know, and not be in Jerusalem, and not be in Galilee, and not be in Samaria. You know, he could only be in one place at one time in the flesh, exactly. And so, when he goes to the Father, he's going to send another helper. But the beauty of it is the Holy Spirit, as it says at the very end, is going to be in us. We're never without the Holy Spirit, and because we're never without the Holy Spirit, we're never without God. And because we're never without God, we're also never without Jesus. Mm-hmm. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Trinity. So good. I want you guys to know that some people say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit, you know, and Jesus is up there and the Father's up there, but they're one. So if I have the Holy Spirit, I have all of God. I have all of the resources of heaven. And the thing is again, that you have to take this by faith. I mean, I could come up here every day and you know, every Sunday and say, listen, you have all the resources of heaven, but if you don't believe it by faith, you don't. It's sad, but it's true. Because it takes faith to receive the things that are in the invisible realm.
Right.
And so how do we receive by faith? We first of all, it says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So get the word of God in your heart. Start, if you don't read the Word of God, find a verse or verses that just light you up when you think about them. Mm-hmm. That when you read them, all of a sudden you feel different. You don't feel the same as before you read. You feel like something's going on inside of me. It's not normal. It's supernatural. And that's the way that we start to receive things by faith, because we're letting our hearts be changed. We're the renewing of our mind. A renewing of our mind isn't like just this piece of, you know, cerebral cortex, all this up here, you know, the 2 pounds or whatever it is that our brain is. It's actually our heart.
Right.
This is the center of where our real mind is. And this is what has to change. You know, I've put scriptures, like I said, where I can memorize them. But until they got down here and transformed this part of me, not my blood pump, but this center of who I am, you know, out of your belly, out of the center of who you are, rivers of living water flow. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's when things start changing. And really, that, you know, messages are wonderful. And I believe, you know, we're probably going to hear messages until Jesus comes back. Yeah. But messages won't mean anything unless we apply our faith to the truth
unless
that we
receive. Unless they're received by faith.
Exactly.
But haven't we all learned that that's the longest trip in the world? That 12 inches is the longest trip in the world. And so that's where we have to even sometimes speak the life of saying, I, by faith, receive whatever it is that you need to receive. Speak it out loud, because remember, there's power of life in our tongue, but there's also power of death in our tongue. So what are you speaking out that the very center, the core of who you are, needs to hear? And that's the only way it's going to change, because again, longest trip, but it can be the most wonderful trip in the world, y'all. It can be, And, you know, we were talking about when he started changing, like going from being a regular pastor to being the quirky person that he is today, that, you know, Jesus is just everything to him, and how he said, you know, I am a son of God. He spoke that out loud every day, sometimes 20 times a day. I am a son of God. I am Jesus' son. I mean, God's son. I am a son of God. And he spoke it out loud. And you could hear him muttering it in the house. And I'm like, oh, there he goes again. There he is again, you know. But he did it until finally something happened. He wasn't even aware of when it happened and what happened. But one day when he said, I am the son of God. I'm a son of God. He's like, hey, I believe that. Like, that's the speaking life that I'm talking about. That's the speaking power over you when you don't feel like it and when you really don't believe it.
That's good.
We have to speak life out and let it penetrate who we are.
Yeah. Case in point, this morning, Gay challenged us by saying, hey, let's enter into the river. And again, the river is simply an expression of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, of God's presence flowing. You know, she had this vision of, or this, yeah, vision or picture in her mind, of in her heart, of this activity that was taking place. And I'm listening to it. And I mean, when I can, I always try to activate my faith. You know, I was enjoying myself there. I was receiving from the Lord. I was into the worship. But by faith, I stepped over here. Now, I can't tell you that I felt any different. You know, Gates said, you know, she almost fell over. But that's an act of faith.
Yeah.
That's like saying, okay, I feel that the Lord is asking something more of us here. And, you know, it's possible. I'm not saying it happened, but it's possible that when I stepped into that place, something has now happened in me that I'm not even aware of what took place. That I may, you know, when I get in front of Jesus and I see the picture, oh my goodness, that's where that new attribute of God came from, is when I stepped into that place, not feeling that well that day, but I'm going to go ahead and move to a place where I want to receive more of God. And that's what we're talking about here.
And
I mean, otherwise, it's no different than any type of traditional event. I mean, we can come here and sing amazing songs. I know it can you know, make your you know, sometimes tingle feel good, or sometimes you don't necessarily enjoy the song. But unless you're doing this by faith, we're wasting time. We are. If we're not coming here and believing what the Lord says, like, I'm here with you, where two or more gather together, I'm there in your midst. If we're not believing that and expecting something to happen to us, then we're no different than the world at that time.
Wow.
And we have all of God in us.
And
what?
It's making our flesh activate. We're
our flesh like, activate? Or, yeah, we're choosing, our spirit saying, no, you're not going to go back here and, you know, just sit on the bank because you're worried about what you're, you know, covered with. You're going to uncover, and you're going to go. Now, this is just one example. It could be all kinds of things. It could be how loud you said the word Jesus when I said, yell Jesus. Jesus. Well, that's great. You stepped out. But sometimes it takes, like I'm telling you, I have gotten into a place where I've needed to just like scream, yell. And I just, and I did that because I was breaking out of the weight of the world upon me. And I didn't yell Jesus, I just yelled. And nothing, I mean, I just was just crying out of my being and just letting, hopefully, those things that were on me at the time fall off. And they felt like they did. But the thing is like we have to be activators of our Christianity. You know, we're not going to transform the world if we're not allowing God to transform our own lives.
Say that again.
I said, we're not going to transform the world if we're not allowing God to transform our own lives. Right? I mean, I'm going to transform the world. Well, if you let him transform your life, well, I mean, you know, That's hard, Pastor. It means I got to give up stuff. It means I got to step out at times. Yeah.
Take off the cover.
Take off the cover. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit, who has fellowship with us, communion with us, if we allow him to, will make all of this stuff easy. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It isn't hard, but it is a work. It takes effort. It takes a continual process of saying, Lord, you know, I'm going to go ahead and be obedient in this.
I really believe that sometimes it happens in the walk, but I believe most times it happens in the decision that you make in here.
It is a decision. You're right. It's a choice.
It's a decision. It's a choice that you make. And I'm going to do a case in point. It was back in my early, you know, in my 20s, and I had a really hard time harboring bitterness. I felt that when people treated me wrong, that I had a right to just write them off. Sometimes I was in very close proximity to them, even on a daily basis, that it was just business. And this was family, and they had hurt me deeply.
Ooh, you're going to freak out. Hang on.
And what are you doing?
I'm trying to keep you from freaking out.
Oh, sweet Jesus, it's a spider.
Where is it?
I don't know.
Okay, keep going. I think it went down.
Oh, sweet Lord, just not on me.
I don't know where it came from. Go ahead.
Did you get it?
No. It's a little tiny guy. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll preach right here. I don't do spiders. Anyway.
Or snakes.
Yeah. So I had just suffered a miscarriage, and it was a tremendously hard one. It was one that they actually had to take me into surgery and remove everything that was already dead in there, baby included. And it was very traumatic for me. I mean, any woman, it would be traumatic for them. And I blamed it on someone that was working me like a workhorse, overworking me. And so I purposed in my heart, they're done. They're done. I'm done with them. And so I lived that way actually over a whole winter, because it was fall to winter, winter to spring. And the Lord was really dealing with me, because I knew I was in sin. I knew that I was sinning by being unforgiving and, you know, letting them be free in Jesus and all of that. And so I decided I was going to go to a women's, little women's meeting thing. And I went to it. And at this women's meeting, I was really convicted of the unforgiveness in my heart. And so I had determined in my heart that night, okay, I'm going to forgive them, and I'm actually going to go so far as to meet with them, tell them why I had stopped having communion with them, tell them why they had hurt me so bad, and why I felt the way that I did. I don't know why I did that, but I did it. Felt like God wanted me to do it. And restoration was made and all of that. But I did not know that I was already pregnant with baby number 3. I already had my daughter. I had a miscarriage before her. I had my daughter, then that bad miscarriage, and then pregnant with baby, actually number 4. And I did not know that I was pregnant at the time of that meeting, or at the time of the meeting with the people that I met with to say, you know, forgive me for my unforgiveness. And this is why I felt the way I did. And I'm really sorry, you know, that I acted like that. Please forgive me. And I didn't know through all of that. I was already pregnant again, because I wanted to have another child. But I knew inside my heart that God would not bless me if I did not forgive. And at the time of my recognizing that, I was already pregnant. And you say, well, you were already pregnant. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to tell you, God knew that I was going to do that. I was going to go to that women's meeting, that I was going to be convicted, that I was going to ask forgiveness, that I was going to meet with them and ask forgiveness. He knew all of the things that I was going to do. So he blessed me. But it happened here first, you guys. And so I believe that that is what we're talking about the river. And who knows if the blessing happened when he decided, I'm going to step over there, or when he stepped over there, or halfway when he stepped over there. Who knows? He doesn't even know, because he felt no different. But I'm just going to say that a lot of times, most times, it's right here that it happens. It's right here that your faith is activated. And you say, I'm gonna do that, Jesus. You're asking me, and I'm going to say yes.
That's good.
So we didn't find the spider?
No, but we can sit back here.
Oh, I'll
sit
back here. Don't think
so. It's a little tiny guy. He's not on the table. He went over the table. Yeah.
What was it?
He won't eat much.
Thanks, Mickey. I love you too.
So.
I'm sorry, I'm just checking.
Yeah, I think we can finish this message another time. I really feel like this is a day of activation. I think we've stepped out by declaring, you know, Jesus and declaring over Yakima. I could hear your voices. And so let's take this opportunity to continue to just let God do something in us. I know we're not necessarily right at the time, but really it's not about that. It's about, is God going to be able to use me in the coming days as he so desires? Is my life going to be a transforming force in the world for my family, for my workplace, for my friends? I mean, am I really going to be a Christian, you know, where people say, wow, that person's a Christian, not because I call myself a Christian, but I live like Jesus? Because that's really what being a Christian is. I live like Jesus. It doesn't mean 100% of the time. I mean, we all have our faults. We all have our failures. But when we do fall and when we do fail, do we let it be something that Jesus can come and pick us back up by confessing what we've done, by saying, Lord, by faith I come to you and I just give this sin to you. I give this thought. I give this impure way. I give this habit that I've got. Whatever it is that the Lord shows you in your heart, or you realize that you're not being like Jesus, you say, okay, Lord, I give this to you by faith. It's by faith. It means that you're saying, I believe that you've taken it from me. Now I'm going to live as if I'm not bound by it anymore. And when the devil comes, tries to say, hey, you know, tries to trip, you say, no, I gave that back to Jesus 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That's under the blood again. You're not going to you're not coming at me again like that. You know, you're gonna have to try something else. And I'm believing the Holy Spirit is gonna guide me and lead me and keep me from getting snared by you again. That's living a life of faith. It's not about you know how churchy you are.
Yeah.
It's not about how Jesus you look like on the outside. It's more about the inside. You know, it's like we could probably all go around here and say who's the most spiritual, and we might all be wrong. You may, oh, it's Pastor Mike. You guys might all be wrong. There may be somebody sitting here right now whose heart is so connected with God. Doesn't look like it, but inside they're right with God. They're right with God like nobody's business. And that's really what it's about. I mean, we're just performing a function up here as the leaders of this house. When we come up here and speak, we're no better than you. Doesn't mean we're any more righteous than you. Doesn't mean we're any more holy than you or anything, any of those things. All it means is that we've been given at this time a purpose for speaking into your lives. So with that said, let's go ahead. If you're already standing. That's good. Having a hard time standing. Are you guys okay to stand with me?
Yeah.
All right. Can Jesse put on some light music? He's like, what? Yeah, we don't probably, just want whatever's. What, you want to track? Yeah, go ahead. We got it. So I believe what the Lord wants to have happen, and I know you'd probably say, let's have people come forward because that's it. No, you're good? Okay. But if you feel, if you sense, if you want to make a choice, a decision, you can step out of your seat and come up here today. But you don't have to. You can make that decision in your seat. But I'm telling you, there's something about stepping out. There's something about activating what you're sensing, what you're hearing. And what are you hearing? You're hearing a challenge, an encouragement, an exhortation from the Lord to say, child, I'm with you. I'm in you. You're not alone. And I want you to start living like I'm there. I want you to start being my child just by the way that you live and move and have your very being in me. If you would like that activated more in your life, go ahead and come on forward. If not, just put your hand on your heart. We're going to do this by faith. Lord, we put our hands on our hearts right now. Our hearts representing the center of who we are. Our soul man, Lord. Our spirit man, Lord. We by faith right now just believe that as we're standing here, Lord, we're standing in your presence. It says we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help and mercy in time of need, Lord. We come boldly before you right now by faith, Lord. Father, we stand and be in front of your glory. We don't deserve to. We haven't earned it, Lord, but Jesus paid the price so we can be right here, right now. And we just ask, Father, that you would make us real Christians, that you'd make us alive to the things of God if there's things that are dead in us. That you'd awaken our hearts, Lord, to the song that's playing in the heavenlies. That's playing, Lord, in the heavenlies, singing the song that is the song of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, that you would cause us, Lord, to be light in this dark world, in our workplaces. Lord, where we are with our peers playing games, recreational activities, Lord, whatever it would be, Lord, we just ask that you'd make us light. Help us to be light, Lord, in this dark world. Lord, help us to live our lives like we are light. Not by obeying a whole bunch of rules, Lord, but being sensitive, Lord, to your move in us. Lord, that when we sense that you're wanting us to do something different, that we're obedient and we change our course. Holy Spirit, thank you for indwelling us. Thank you for living in us. Even though we can't see you, even though we can't always feel you, we believe by faith that you're there. And we're never alone. So wherever we go, wherever our feet tread, wherever we are dwelling, you are indwelling us. And Lord, that we can bring that same presence that's in us to our places of work, to the places where we meet with others. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that we can be your children, that you've equipped us to be your children. You've given us the power, the dunamis power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives life to these bodies, gives life to these mortal bodies. Lord, we just receive by faith right now everything that you've given us. We receive by faith, Lord, the love of God. We receive by faith, Lord, the joy of God. We receive by faith, Lord, the peace of God in our lives, Lord. We receive by faith, Lord, the patience of God in our lives right now, Lord. We receive right now, Lord, the gentleness of God right now in our lives, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the long-suffering of God. Lord, we receive the fruit of the Spirit, and we allow it to be active in our lives, transforming us, changing us, renewing us from the inside out. Lord, we just receive it right now by faith. Do your work, Holy Spirit. Do your work that you want to do. We know that you've called us for such a time as this. We know you've called us for this day, Lord, for this hour, that we're not here by accident, that we're not here by mistake, Lord, that even if we were seemingly a mistake with our parents, Lord, we're not a mistake, Lord. We're here purposeful by God, purposed by God for this time and for this hour and for this day. And we just agree by faith, Lord, you're going to use us, Lord. You're going to use us for your glory. You're going to use us for your purposes, your plans, and your desires, and that you're going to fulfill your will in our lives, and you'll help us fulfill the will of God in others' lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. In these earthen vessels, as it is in heaven. Amen. 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 Have a song. Thank you, Jesus.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, what can wash? that there's freedom in your name. That your blood poured out for us, God, makes us whole. All infirmity, all sickness, God. We just, even right now, over our pastor, we just pray healing over his voice, over his throat. Any person in this place that's feeling sickness, just right now, just receive the healing of Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that when we gather, God, in your name, something happens in the heavens. We thank you, God, that as we leave this place, we're carrying something different. We thank you, God, that we are representations of you, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, for every person in this room right now to walk in their true identity as a son or as a daughter. God, as we go out this week, Lord, and live our lives with our families and our friends and our coworkers and our classmates and whoever we're around, God, that the light of Jesus, the love of Jesus would just exude from who we are in everything we do. Thank you, Jesus. Give us opportunity to be your hands and feet in this place, God. Just thank you for all this, and all God's people said, amen.